You got everything? Phone, wallet, passport?
Yeah, yeah, I think I got everything.
You know she finna start crying, right?
Be quiet, Aubrey. Listen, sweetie, make sure you call us when you get there. You know I'm gonna worry about you.
All right, yeah, I will. My flight gets in around 8:30, but, you know, I got to get some Wi-Fi first. But when I get some Wi-Fi, I'll let y'all know.
All right, man. Well, you know what to do. Handle your business.
As always, we're real proud of you, baby boy.
All right. Appreciate it. Love y'all.
Love you too.
What's good, everybody? It's Kendrick Perry here, aka KP3, aka Mr. Certified in Person, bringing you Life Across the Water. What's up, everybody? On today's episode, I am joined by my guy, Big Mango. This is episode 6. He is my current teammate right now in Cedevita Olympia. Unfortunately, he suffered a pretty serious leg injury at the beginning of this year, so he hasn't been able to be on court with us, but, you know, he's still been around, and now he's at the point now where, you know, he's really coming into his own with his rehab and getting back on his feet in the quite literal sense. So we talk about all things in this episode, man, all things on the court, off the court, how it is mentally dealing with the injury, you know, something that, you know, him and I both have experienced in our careers. So stay tuned and hope you guys enjoy it. Welcome back to another episode of Life Across the Water. It's your boy KP3. Sorry, I've been gone for a little minute, man. Just trying to, get guys' schedules in order and all that. But I'm glad to say we're back with another episode. And today joining me is my guy, Mangok Matiang.
What's good, my guy?
My boy. How are you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Appreciate for having me.
Yeah, no problem, bro. No problem. Obviously, you know, we have... For those that don't know, Big Mango is what we call him. You know what I'm saying? He's our current teammate now, Cedevita Olympia. Unfortunately, you know, he's been sidelined with the injury, but we'll get into all that a little later. But you know, that's kind of our pathway, how we met. So first off, man, before we really get into it, just kind of tell the people a little bit of. Well, first off, I usually start every episode asking about mental health, you know, as black athletes and being in, being from America and dealing with the social injustices now. But, you know, with you, in your case, it's a little different. You're Sudanese and you've lived a majority of your time in Australia, correct? Mm. So, you know, obviously it's a little different in terms of American versus Australian society, but as a black athlete or as a black man in a predominantly white society, with all the things that you see now that are not just happening in America but all over the world, right, in terms of social injustice and, you know, we as the minority speaking up and wanting our rights and our freedom and our voice to be heard, mentally, how are you coping with things right now?
I don't know, man. I'm a natural positive guy, you know, so I think it just helps me on that. I have a very supporting family, a loving family around me, and, you know, just my team of group people around me, just, you know, positively as well towards themselves and me, it makes it easier. But to touch on the, you know, mental health is just all in general, not just in, you know, for black male, but just all in general is a huge thing that we all need, you know. We all have our own, you know, trials and tribulations, and some of us don't know how to talk about it, you know what I mean? And some of us don't know how to, you know, cope with it, or, you know, the case may be. And, you know, people hold it in, and I think I read a verse, son, that said, like, God made humans to be with humans, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not to be alone. So you need to kind of, like, talk about it and be... You know, some people are introverts, you know what I mean? They can't, right, you know, be around people and all of that. And any little thing can trigger those, you know, moments of like mental health that makes you within yourself, where it's like, yo, you know, you feel like you can't speak out, you know, right. What I mean, you feel like, you know, you're embarrassed, or you feel like you know, you just don't feel like doing a lot around people, right. And all of that. And yeah, man, like these little things just kind of like build up, and as humans, you know, we don't really know what's going on the inside, so we just kind of play it and just be like, everybody's got their own life going on, mm-hmm. which in the instance is true, but you're forgetting the key thing, which is life.
Right.
Everybody else is, you know, trying to live, and it's hard to just live on your own and trying to figure it all out. It would be great if everybody had like a manual to kind of let you know what you're expecting and what to go through, but
right.
We don't. So the only thing we do have is each other and just our words, you know what I mean? And, you know, we have emotion, and now we have words to kind of, you know, put them all together. So mm-hmm. I think that in the aspects of mental health is huge. And, you know, from black male in itself, it's huge, man. I think we just have like a lot of colonial type of thoughts in our own heads.
Right.
Even it could be as simple as just going outside. I have this thing where I go outside when if I'm wearing a hoodie.
Right.
I wear a hoodie all the time. I love wearing my hoodies. But it's like when I'm outside and it's dark and, you know, I know I'm around a lot of like white people or whatever the case may be.
Right.
I think in my head, yo, I don't think it's safe for me to wear my hood.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
and,
right.
And I take it off. Or like when I'm around other people, like the way they look at me sometimes, like I'm like, yo, I need to change the way I act, or I need to change the way just to fit in or to be.
But it's unfortunate, not to cut you off, bro, but it's unfortunate that we have to think like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because society has plagued it to where when you see a black man walking down the street with a hoodie, your immediate response is danger.
Right.
You know what I mean? Trouble. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, hardly ever the case.
Right.
You know? But it's just really unfortunate that we have to, I have to go outside. When I go outside, I have to think in the mind of other people rather than just, because, you know, let's be real. White right. people, they don't do that. You know what I mean? If a white person walks outside and puts his hood up, he's not worried about what the people around him are viewing him as.
Right.
Whereas me being a black man, especially with dreadlocks and tattoos, you know what I mean? If I put my hood up, it's like, okay, here comes trouble. Let me, you know, let me keep an eye out for this guy. Let me watch. And it's unfortunate that you know, like you said, you have to think about how you have to carry yourself when you know that, you know, you're not coming from a place of threat, of violence, you know, of negativity. So it's unfortunate, man, but, you know, it's the society we're in right now, and that's kind of how we have to navigate, you know, through these waters.
So, which is tough. And then you also got to go also, like, you could get so deep with this mental health, you know, it's so mind-troubling, bro. Like, you could really go in with just the culture, you know what I mean? Of just black men, period. Just the way we were raised, just to be hard, just to be tough, just to really not... I know it's all male as well, but, like, it's more, you know, focused on, for us, like, you know, like, black males, you know, just because of who we have to be, For real, you know what I mean? What we have to face. I don't even want to go into American, you know, black males that what they have to face, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whether it's literally like for you guys, it's like, you know, we do this hierarchy of, you know, the food chain, you know what I mean? Or whatever, it's just humanity. In the animal kingdom, really, there's animals that go out there and say, yo, man, if I'm not alert, you know, I'm going to be, you know, a victim out here tonight, you know what I mean? And that's how literally, you know, black males really go outside and live their life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they literally have to be cautious of the things of, you know, of dangers.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's really just normal life for
normal
everybody else.
Yep.
You feel me?
Yep.
And then you add on the other life things that you have to, you know, deal with, which is just your own anxiety, your own, you know, self-frustration, you slept in or whatever the case may be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Your coffee was too hot or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And those things just kind of... And you have to build those in and build those in for years. Like, since you was a kid, like, you're taught to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's not something that you come in and it's like, oh, my God, it's so different. Like, you think like, oh, my... Yeah, that's what men is supposed to do.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And then in reality, it's not true. So it's tough, man. Like... It's tough. I think for us men, for black men, period, we just like totally strong mentally. We don't need to do that no more. You know, in my personal aspect, we don't need to do that. We speaking out about it now and telling each other to just, yo, look, man, even you don't even have to go to a psychologist or whatever if you're not in that, you know, space yet. But any human you talk to, whether it's your mate, your, you know what I mean, your partner, your, you know what I mean, your family members, like, that helps. And it doesn't, it won't, you don't have to go in and like, yo, look, man, this is what's going on in me life and just put it all on the plate, bro.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just, it takes simple as, yo, how you doing? You know what I mean? And you actually, you know, examining yourself and it's like, yo, look, man, I'm not really just going to answer, yo, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good, you know.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, yo, look, man, I actually, you know, I'm stressing about this little thing. And it might be a little thing. It's like, yo, okay, cool, I got you. It's like, yo, look, man, I'm actually going.
But let me at least get it out there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It's not.
Just for you to examine yourself and actually see it and recognize it, you know, I mean, that's huge enough. And everything else, we just kind of like try to align on itself from there. So, yeah.
Nah, that's real, bro. Definitely. Set a mouthful. As you guys hear already, this is going to be a big mental health episode, man. And, you know, like I said, we'll dive into some of the aspects in terms of mental health as an overseas player. But to start off, man, now that we got the mental health conversation going, to start off, kind of tell the people, you know, where you've played so far professionally throughout your career.
I started off with the Hornets.
Okay.
I signed a two-way deal with the Hornets for a year, and then went down. And then after that year was over, did a summer league with them for a little bit. And then after that summer league, I decided to go overseas. And my first overseas deal was in Italy.
Okay. And not a bad way to start off.
Yeah, not at all. and then Italy was fun, man. I enjoyed it. It was dope. It's just kind of like, my, you know, just African spirit, you know what I mean? Just family oriented, you know what I mean? All wrapped around family. Family is cold.
Mm-hmm.
And just culture. They have this culture thing, you know what I mean? They hold it wherever they go.
Right.
You know, you could tell an Italian from wherever you go.
Right.
And for real, they just love the food. They love eating. They love having a good time, drinking and all that. And that's, personally, that's why I feel like all black people are.
Right.
You feel me? So I just kind of like, you know,
gravitated to it.
And I knew that just because I had a mate of mine in high school.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Australia, there was, you know, Italian. We used to tell, like, yo, look, man, I want to go to Italy one day and all that. So, like, when that opportunity came, it just kind of felt like, you know, it was a no-brainer.
Right.
I'm a big believer in things happen for a reason. And it felt like God was talking to me. So I took it. And, yeah, man, I enjoyed it. My first year won the Italian League and all that. Went lost in the semifinals to, I think it was Venice who ended up winning the whole thing. Mm. And it was just a good experience, man. I was nervous coming in.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Then I went to Turkey. And Turkey was also dope. Another thing as well, another country that I also wanted to visit. So it felt like a no-brainer. It was just kind of like, it didn't feel like a foreign country.
Right.
It just literally had everything of America had. It had Shake Shack. Yeah. You know, Popeyes.
You must have been in Istanbul.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, nah, this is dope. So it's like, I felt like, you know, comfortable there.
Right.
You know, and then this is my third place right here. Slovenia, obviously, with the whole lockdown stuff, don't really get to check it out as much.
Yeah, it's a little different.
But I actually, from being here and what I got to see, I'm chilling. I'm enjoying it. I'm just waiting for grace of God to lift up this storm and then, you know, let the sun come out so I could go outside for a bit.
Facts. Nah. Just to segue into the next topic, man, you said, you know, it's a figurative storm, you know, over you right now and kind of over all of us with the pandemic. But, you know, you individually, you know, unfortunately, like we mentioned earlier, you had an injury, a pretty major one in terms of time being missed out, and you had it really before the season started. And if you would like, you can go into detail. I know me personally, I used to kind of bottle up when talking about, you know, my past injuries. So I get it, of course, if you don't want to share anything, but, you know, just if there's anything you want to share about, like, specifically about the injury to the listeners, then, you know, feel free to.
Nah, man, I don't know. For some reason, I never shy away from these other things.
Yeah.
It's part of the game. Just like, you know, mistakes and all of that good stuff is part of life, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's part of the game. You have to... Some people have to face it some way or another.
Right.
You know? And it's just to test you. And for me, just everything that you go through, it just tests you for to see if you really, truly want it, if you truly, you know, devote to what it is. So... Injuries is part of the game, man. It sucks. You know, as a player, you want to be out there, obviously, to, you know, to hoop. That's the first thing you want to do, you know, to love the game and all of that. And once you're not really doing it, it feels like it's kind of taken away.
Right.
You feel me? But, yeah, man, and just watching everybody else doing it, and you go into this state of mind where, you know, your ego kicks in, and you're like, yo, this person out there.
I know I can do this. Yeah.
Yeah, man, but once I go through all of those, I actually, that's when it reminds me of, bro, you know, this is all part of it. You know, this is all going to be, you're human, you know what I mean? So, like, even, I be having moments where, literally, I'm down, you know what I mean? And I'm like, yo, man, it's cool, like, you have to go through this.
Yeah.
And then I'll be having moments where I swear, like, I never feel like I'm injured, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yo, where's this coming from?
Nah, I remember my mom told me, because like I said, I used to really like, whatever adversity had hit me throughout my playing career, you know what I'm saying, I used to kind of like bottle it up, you know what I mean? I would tell those close to me, but then after that, I just wouldn't really branch out. And then I had a conversation with my mom. She was like, look, you have to put this out there, you know what I'm saying? Not necessarily for, well, of course for you, you know what I'm saying, to heal and get past it. But you never know. You never know who's listening to this podcast. You never know who might see your Instagram post. You know what I'm saying? So, and who might need that motivation. You know what I mean? So, like, it's hard to talk about. It's hard to go through. But at the same time, you might be helping out, you know, some kid who thinks, you know, his life is over because some adversity had hit him, where he sees your post and that gives him a little bit more light to keep going.
Right.
And then ever since that conversation, you know, this, you know, obviously the podcast, and I'm more than comfortable with talking about, you know, all of my experiences. But, you know, like you said before, we as people, we just need that. We need that little bit of like kind of reassurance where it's like, all right, like, I hear you. Not even like I agree with you, or, you know, I understand. Just I hear you. You know what I'm saying? And I empathize with you no matter what you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, talk a little bit about just kind of the process. You know, I've been, you know, firsthand to see the process of you getting back and getting into shape and the form. But kind of for those listening in, just kind of give, if you can, just give a brief little timeline about, you know, how many days you had to, or how long you had to be on crutches, and then once you started walking, and then when you start, just to give the people a clear view of what it's like going through this, because, you know, I want my listeners to realize at the same time, this is all happening overseas, you know, in a foreign country, in the midst of a pandemic, you know, we're not around our family members, you know what I mean? So when we talk about mental health, it takes a mentally strong person to go about a situation like this day in and day out. So just kind of give a brief outline of how this process has been for you.
To be honest, bro, I actually haven't been stressing about it much. It's my fourth injury, you know what I mean? And I've had the why me God.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, facts.
Kind of injury moments.
Yeah, facts.
I've had the, you know what I mean, the, yo, I don't even think I could come back.
Right.
It's over.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Type of injuries.
Yeah.
And I've had the, yo, it's an injury, I could come back, but like nervous type of, you know?
Yep.
So it's like, I've kind of like faced those. And for me, man, I'm certified believer in God.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like this. But like he seen, like it's some crazy thing. Like it's like he shows you himself like before things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like this injury has kind of like low-key happened in front of me twice.
Right.
You know, or three times. It happened in high school with my teammate.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in college with my teammate. You know what I mean? And then it happened just a few months before I became professional and with Paul George. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it was like levels that I was, you know, getting to. It happened right. in high school when I was like, yo, just starting to ring a name.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It happened in college when I was redshirting.
Right.
I was about to come play. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It happened professionally before I was professional and right. I saw it. So it's like, it gave me things where it was like, yo, you're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So when it happened, literally, as soon as my leg broke, I lost it. I had a moment where I, you know, screamed out like twice or three times.
Yeah.
And then I had, like, I literally saw coach and all these guys coming, and they just kind of like calmed me down a little bit. But right. it was still like, yo, bro, we're done. Then I had those moments where it's like, oh my God, my contract.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Oh my God, my family. You know what I mean? Oh my God, we're in a pandemic. I mm-hmm. can't even afford this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All of those types happened like literally in this sense, like so fast. then I was like, yo, and I was thinking, yo, this team's gonna send me home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to do this all in just mm-hmm. that one, you know? And then I literally looked over and you pulled over the guys and you started praying. You know, that was an instance for me to just remind me, to let me know, yo, you know, I'm not alone. Like, God got me, and my homies got me.
And it's because I was in that situation before.
Mm.
Like you said, all those thoughts going through your mind, you know what I'm saying? Damn, I gotta go back. I got to go back home. I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford this surgery. I got to learn how to walk again. You know what I mean? And I've been through this before. You know what I mean? That's the most frustrating thing. Like, I've been through this before so many times. Like you said, all the emotions, all the thoughts that came with it. So when it happened to you, my first thing was like, all right, let me just try to calm everybody's nerves. You know what I mean? And the quickest way I can do that is just with a quick little prayer. You know what I mean? That's something that always calms my nerves whenever I'm feeling a little anxious or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I can only imagine everything you were thinking at the time. So I was like, let me just, you know, put a hand over him, say a word for him, just so I can remind him through the midst of the storm, there will be a silver lining. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? The sun will come out, like you said, and it's going to take some time, but the sun is always going to shine again, bro.
Yeah.
So that was just my whole mental at the time.
Like, and mind the fact that before I was 2 weeks late because I had to quarantine at home because mm-hmm. I had got COVID and all this type of stuff. So I'm like, bro. So yet again, that moment came into my head. Why
right.
me?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And literally I was going to, you know, yet again, you have these moments where you just forget God and you forget your purpose and whatever right. the case may be. And you just go into that dark. And it happened so fast, bro, like literally, like seconds, you know?
Right.
And then you started praying, so then I started praying. And then it calmed me down. Waited like 10, 15 minutes for the ambulance to get mm-hmm. there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And literally was not really thinking about the contract with this, blah, right. blah, blah. And then, yeah, I got to the hospital, you know what I mean? Pain, all of this, blah, blah, blah. Actually got the surgery the same night. And then the next morning, the doctor came in and was like, look, man, this is what we think.
Right.
You know, we think that your time is this. You're going to have to do it like this. But I knew it in my head. Like, even the doctor knew. Like, look, man, I'm just giving you something just so you can feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not really this exactly when you're going to come back or whatever. So, but I had to do from March. No, was it March? No, September. From September till December, late December, I was on crutches.
Mm-hmm.
Then from like January, like mid-January is when I started walking.
Mm-hmm.
But like from December, like mid-December to like when I started walking, I was still with the crutches, you know?
Right.
I started doing rehab actually 2 weeks after my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I started doing like my rehab stuff and all of that. So I started doing it back to work 2 weeks after.
Right.
But it was just not as much load. Now, really just trying to get back into jogging
mm-hmm.
and just trying to remember all of that again.
Yeah.
Had to remember how to walk and all of that again.
Yeah, you know? That shit is. It's harder than what you know, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When someone hasn't had that injury before and you tell them, like, yeah, you got to learn how to walk again. Oh, that's easy. Just put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Nah, bro. It don't really work like that. I need to get my knee to bend the right way, and then I still got to be able to put pressure on my ankle. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a whole array of things that we as people, you know, take for granted because, you know, God forbid, you know, something devastating happens.
Bro, there was time before I even got my crutches, before I got off my crutches, bro, I couldn't sit properly.
Yeah.
Like, on a chair like I'm sitting right now, I'm normal. You know what I mean? Like, if I sat like that, like, I'll have to keep my leg up. And I'll keep my leg up for like 30 minutes, you know, just sitting there, you know. And then I had to get used to sitting back normal, you know, and adjusting all of that. So, man, I think my timetable, really no telling. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those injuries. Really, everybody saying it's going to take a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, if you humanly, my bone will be healed probably by like, you know, March.
Right.
You know, by March, I'm going to be like a regular, normal human.
Right.
But about getting back into, you know, playing and, you know, just playing like a normal rec player will play. You know, I'll probably need like another, you know, 2 or a month and a half. And then in order for me to get into my shape and into the team shape and into basically another professionally, you game.
And high level.
High level play. Probably till another 2 months or another month and a half. So it's basically a whole season injury, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's a long uphill battle, bro. And then you just kind of wake up one day and then it just seems like everything is if not downhill, then you're just at a smooth level. You know what I'm saying? But it's definitely an uphill battle, but it's a day-by-day thing, bro. You can't think too far ahead of the process. You just got to, you know, take everything. Okay, I can run a little bit now. Let me try a little more. You know, I can do a little more now. Let me try to do a little jog. I can jog a little. Let me try. I can't sprint yet. Let me dial it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's literally a day by day thing. But you know, let's to get into our next topic. You know, we have conversations like this, you know, all the time, obviously. And one of the things we talked about was the love for the game, you know what I mean? And the best example, or the most recent example we've had was when Kyrie Irving recently took his leave from basketball. When you know, the whole I can't remember. When the Capitol got stormed. And, you know, people were, you know, obviously making light of the situation, you know, saying Kyrie wanted to be more of an activist than a hooper or whatever the case may be. And then, you know, we kind of talked about just how over time people's love of the game, not saying this happened with Kyrie, but we were just saying that over time people's love of the game changes for different reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had friends who've lost the game who've lost love of the game because of a bad situation overseas, or, you know, maybe not overseas, but just in general.
Right.
You know, it could, in our cases, it could be just as something as small as one injury. You know what I mean? And now you don't want to do the rehab process because you think it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be something as simple as being away from family year after year after year. You know what I mean? Just kind of talk about, man, just through the midst of everything, bro, everything that you've been through so far, just keeping that love of the game, keeping that fire, because, you know, it's going to end for all of us eventually, right? Mm-hmm. You know, whether we want it to or not, it's going to end for all of us. But, you know, and I'm a firm believer in that with injuries comes your, like, it ignites it ignites that fire. It either ignites that fire or it puts it out completely. I feel like there's really no in between, because once you get hit with a serious injury, it's like either I want to do this, I want to put my body through this, I want to put my mind through this, or I don't, literally. And, you know, obviously people have different circumstances, which makes them, you know, make their decision. But just kind of talk about you personally, how you're able to keep your love for the game throughout something like this, like something, you know, like an injury like you've had.
Man, like you said, people lose, you know, love for the game or love for anything, you know, fast. And I think people, for me, what I figured out what really love for a thing is just having passion for it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you really have passion for something, it's hard for you to lose it. I think just humanity, period, is all about interactions and all that, which creates, you know, that crazy connection that makes passion. You know what I mean? Which people, scientists say is the only thing that we don't, that we have that other animal, you know,
don't
have. It's just that empathy, that feeling or whatever. So, which is passion, bro. These are objects. These, everything that we fall in love with is all man-made. You know what I mean? It's all man-made. And whether you believe it or not, it is, because it's us. It's our creations. It's what we want. It's what we fell in love with. It's what the passions were we created within ourselves. So with the sport, I fell in love with the sport. Really, I wasn't a basketball player. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I fell in love with the sport just because of just the community of what, how much love of around it was.
Right.
That I couldn't even deny it anymore. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it was like my brothers, my cousins, everybody around played basketball. It saw the joy they played. And then when I started playing, I kind of like couldn't deny it. I felt it. I enjoyed it. So I was like, yo, I fell in love with it, you know?
Right.
The more I worked, the more I got better, the more competitive I got, you know what I mean? I fell in love with it. So that's my love and passion for the game. So I think I would probably never lose that just because I know, you know what I mean? Like, my brother loved the game.
Right.
He showed it to me. I took over, look where it took me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, my coach loved the game. He showed it to me. You know what I mean? I loved it and put my time into it and look where it took me.
Right.
You know what I mean? With Kyrie's situation, man, like, he's, like we always say, we're human first, you know? And he, if they say you want to be an activist first.
Which is something, which is something that people
forget.
On the outside looking in, fail to realize, you know, because they see the athlete side of it and they fail to realize that we have lives outside of this, outside of this entertainment.
I mean, but the thing is, like, even with them, you know what I mean? With them making those things, like, you're making that thing, making those things, and you're thinking of making those thoughts before you even say that you're human first.
Right.
You feel me? Because, like, activists or not, this is something that we need. You know what I mean? I feel like everybody in the world should be an activist.
Right.
You feel me? And for people to just kind of, like, play dumb about it in a sense of what just happened and not just, no offense or no anything to anybody that's Maltese or whatever. But like, Malta is a small country.
Right.
If this was to happen in like Malta or whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And people just saw it, you could play dumb. Bro, this is the United States of America, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody in the world says that's the most powerful country. Mm-hmm. So come on. Like, if somebody that's in the NBA, which is one of the most powerful, is one of the most viewed stages in the world, was to do that, you know? Like, yeah, it's going to create some type of conflict, some type of whatever it is. But personally, like, it's passion. Whatever passion you have for what you do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Is if you're a singer, you passionate about that. But guess what? You're a human,
you're human first.
So before you fell in love with that and before you found that passion, you was just a regular human.
Right.
You know what I mean? They probably would have thought that if another rapper or another somebody did something like this, you'd be like, yo, that's not how they're supposed to do. You're supposed to be, you love the game, you love the rapping, right? Do what you say.
Right.
You feel me? Just like all these politicians, you know, they could say that they love all of this, blah, blah, blah. But first, you know, you're human first.
Right.
You feel me? Before you became a politician, before you fell in love with trying to make laws and make all of this, like, somebody else had to show you somebody that was a human before you. You was just a regular human that didn't
lit
know.
That fire.
You feel me?
For sure.
So either way, like, it was another human that lit it for you.
For sure.
You know, it was another human idea that lit it for you.
For sure.
It was another human tragedy or whatever the case may be that made you fall in love and draw your life into that. Like, for us African Americans or black people, it's poverty. You know what I mean? We're like, yo, it's singing, it's rapping. You know what I mean? It's playing sports. That's the only thing you think you could take your family out of this. So yeah, you fall in love with that. It becomes something that you consume, whatever. Right. But then now everybody just says, oh, because that's all we've seen you. That's what it is.
Right.
You know? Like, you just because you've made it as your, you know, almost probably, like, it becomes your brand and people just think that's you. You know? Which is insane because it's like, mate, my name is Mango, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, figure out who Mango is and then figure out
everything else after that.
Why Mango does
what
he does.
Right.
You know what I mean? Why Mango is a basketball player. Why Mango is, you know, why is Mango talking like that before that? You know?
Right.
And people forget that. For real, for real. Like, that's... People who say, yo, you have an opinion to say because you're human.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why they say you have opinion, because everybody's there and I don't know what the hell you're thinking.
Right.
You feel me? That's why they say, yo, say what you want to say. It's fine. You feel me?
Yeah.
And then in that aspect, you can't be naive and say, yo, I'm going to be... Say whatever I want to say, but then, you know, select you and put you in these type of categories because of that. Right. So it's tough, man. But I love the game just because I find it in other ways. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I see you working. I've seen we've been in through paths. So I'm like, yo, man, I see his love of the game. It,
right.
It lights a fire back, yeah. You know, in those type of things.
That's the biggest thing, bro. You find something that can light that fire under you, man. And, you know, you're that's, like you said, that fire is where that passion comes from. Mm-hmm. And then you can be motivated by that. So last thing I want to touch on, bro, before we wrap it up. You know, one thing I've come to learn about you throughout our last couple, or throughout these past couple months together, is that you're very big when it comes to community and just helping those that are less fortunate. I just saw on the team page that you were named ambassador of the Seta Vida Smile project that they're doing. Congratulations, by the way. That's big time.
Cheers, mate.
But, you know, just kind of talk a little bit about where that sense of community comes from. Because, you know, I don't want to say it's rare, but, you know, you don't see a lot of times people that aren't from a specific country doing things that you're doing to try to help improve that country. You know what I mean? You know, I saw you did the computer giveaway around Christmas time with the team, and just kind of talk about what, you know, how important that is to you, and just kind of where that sense of community comes from.
Man, I think with me, like I said earlier, I'm a positive person, you know what I mean? So with that being said, I try to find any type of positivity or anything. In anything that I see,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? I could just be walking or whatever, and I see something, I'm like, oh, wow, like, watch what's God doing, you know
right.
what I mean?
Or, right.
Or it could just be within me, you know what I mean? Or I go through a hard workout.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, wow, like, how the hell did I, you know, how did I get through that? Or it's like weird, like, my body, my leg, you know, like, mm-hmm. when it broke, it looked like all messed up.
Right.
You feel me? Then I wake up, and it's like straight. You feel me? And then when I'm sitting there, I feel like all these crazy, weird pains. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I know what happened. But it's just one of those. I find type of... So my mom is... First of all, her name is Grace. You know what I mean?
Right.
The word for grace is just basically just being grateful and just
right.
giving back. And she's always been like that. My father... really haven't really lived with my father like that, but from hearing stories about him, is he's a giver as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I don't want to say that it's in the bloodline, but it's just, you know, something that I've always known.
Right.
I've always been in my whole life in the community that needs help.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've been a part of it. I've moved from South Sudan to Egypt, mm-hmm. you know, because of war and all of that, civil war. So, you know, it's not like we're flying private jets, you know.
Right.
So other people had to come in and help my family in order for us to move from Sudan to Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa, from Egypt to, you know, Australia. And
right.
it became, like, when we got to Australia, literally I was, like, saved, G. Like, mm-hmm. it was a beautiful life and all of that. So then there was other, we lived in a community environment that actually helped us, you know,
right.
as well. And just... You know, like in America, you know, you got the Boys and Girls Club, you
mm-hmm.
know, we have the YMCA over there in Australia as well. So things like that, it's just something that I've always been a part of, something that I've always seen.
Right.
And for me as a kid, I've always seen it as like, oh my God, it's free stuff, but I've always known why it's free.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I know things don't come free.
Right.
And nothing in this world free, nothing, nobody would just give you. So like, I always remembered and knew where those good things came from. So it was just something that I'm in a privileged place to be able to do so.
Right.
You know, so it's like, it's not taking nothing out of me. It's not taking nothing but time.
Right.
For real, for real. And that's what they did with me, and it brought me here, and it brought me to actually think, you know, as a young man, as this, you know, like you said, a lot of people don't be thinking like this, and I'm not naive. Like, I've been around my peers and all of this, and I don't want to be, you know, saying that I'm unique, but I find a few people and it's not a lot. You feel me? So it's something that I'm really proud of and I take pride in tremendously. It's not something that people tell me to do. Since, you know, in college, you had to do community services and all of that. Yeah. It was something like, some players didn't want to do it. They're tired and all, which I get it. Right. You know, sometimes I be tired.
For sure.
Know? And I swear, like, I buy into that. Yo, I don't want to go. But in my heart, that's not it. Yeah. Like, once I get there,
it's fine.
Locked in. It's like, yo, kids, what? High five this and all of that. Just because, like, personally, I was one of those kids. I probably never had no Mango Mathieu or no, you know, professional player coming for me to see these type of things. But, you know, I had a social worker. I've had, you know, a normal person that is a normal person to them, but to me, then it wasn't. So it's like something huge. I think everybody needs it. For us as clubs, wherever we go, teams, you know, are invested, and they always invested because that's their team, no matter what. You know what I mean? And I'm coming in, even if I'm coming in to just play my part and move on for my, it's fine. But like, God put me in situations for a reason.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm trying to absorb as much, you know, as much as I can, and trying to be involved as much as I can.
For sure. I think one of the biggest things about playing overseas, or one of my biggest things that I've tried to take away, is that I want to leave a better impression than, like, when I leave, I want whether it be myself or the team or whoever, I want whoever I'm involved with to have a better impression of me and those surrounding me, right? So, you know, you come to a team like Cedevita, you know, obviously you're a new face. And you get out in the community and you do stuff and you let people see you and you're giving back. They're going to look at not just the team and but they're going to look at yourself too in a whole different light. You know what I mean? And that's going to do nothing but open doors for, you know, for not just you, but other people down the road.
Right.
You know what I mean? So my biggest thing is like, you know, because, you know, whether people want to admit it or not, they all have a certain impression about people. Well, you know, that's just who we are as people. You know, if I see someone walking down the street and he or she does something I don't like, I form an impression of them in my mind without even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So whatever that impression may be, for better or for worse, I want it to be one out of respect. I want it to be one out of dedication. I want it to be one out of all the positive things you talk about. You know what I mean? Because that's who I am. That's how I was raised. You know what I mean? So I want whatever situation I'm involved in, I want that to be reflective. I don't ever want to leave a city or a team like Cedevita and then have people say, oh, well, you know, the guys didn't really like him. He wasn't really doing this. He wasn't doing that. You know what I mean? Like, I've been fortunate enough to, in my 7-year career, where I if I could talk my shit for a quick second, you would be hard pressed to find a teammate or an organization who has something bad to say about me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's just how I carry myself day in and day out. And, you know, obviously with you doing the community outreach and just giving back to the community, that goes a long way, man. And, you know, not just for like us as peers and as other teammates or whatever, but just, you know, the kids that are less fortunate. Some kids are going to remember the things you're doing. You know what I mean? And, you know, it might not feel like it at the time, because like you said, we just finished practice and, you know, my body's aching and, man, I really don't, I'm tired. I would really like to lay down right now. But then once you get there and you see the smiles on the faces and you just feel the energy, you have no choice but to give that energy back, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, brother, I commend you for, you know, really taking a step and, you know, really putting yourself out there in terms of getting back to a community that, you know, you don't necessarily call home. You know what I mean? Because it'll be easy for me to go back to Orlando and do, you know, however much, because that's crib, you know, that's foundation. Right. You know what I mean? But for you to come halfway across the world and still be just as emotionally invested in the community as you would back at home, that speaks volumes to your character as a person and just who you are.
I think with me, bro, sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I think because it's a blessing, and I think people will probably see it like, oh my God, this boy is over here bouncing around like a Navy kid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's what life gave me, but I swear, like, it's great for me, because I was that kid, you know, you have your problems as a kid, and you don't want to talk, and you don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, right. I was a dyslexic kid. I was a kid that came in, didn't know any English, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And all of that, but, like, I had to make friends somehow,
right?
You know what I mean? And everywhere I went, I didn't know if it was home for the time, or I was leaving in a little bit,
right?
You know what I mean? So, either way, I'm making it home. Mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm making it home.
Got
you
to.
Know what I mean?
Got
wherever to. I go. And I've just taken it with me to the professional life.
Right.
You feel me? And it's helped me, like, everywhere I go. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just like for you guys, like, we was a kid, like, if you don't know the language, you don't know the culture and all of that, yeah, you're going to be stayed away and stayed all of that. Like,
right.
I think that's what it is for all the overseas players. When they come from overseas, like, bro, I don't know the culture. I don't know much about it. I'm not going to go out there and stick out like a sore thumb already,
right.
And then, you know, actually step on people's toes.
Right.
That's the really what you're really thinking, and get out of your comfort zone and all of that. But for me, it's just, I think I don't really have a comfort zone, bro. It's just a thing where it's just like, yo,
whatever situation.
Yeah,
you're
like
in,
I
you
moved so
adapt.
Much, and it's like, yo, I just gotta adapt, and it's home. Like
right.
It's home. Then, like now, this is not home, but it's home.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's what I've been living here for a while, and till the season is over, it's gonna be home.
Right,
you
for sure.
Me? Which
for
is
sure.
Which is calm, and I'm gonna see kids. I'm gonna see a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are gonna come to the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like since the first day I signed, the first people that was following me was kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was just kids that really don't even care. They're just like, oh my God, we got a new player.
Right.
You know what I mean? They
right.
don't even know like there's a new country. They
mm-hmm.
don't even know there's a different culture. They don't. They just
right.
like. We got a new player in this basketball. Yet again, that, you know, that passion thing.
For
and
sure.
they just get connected to you. So for me, it's just like, bro, I'm here. It's home. I might as well just enjoy it while I'm here and
right.
not just be miserable and be like, oh, it's not home. I wish I could be in my community doing this. Every community is the same community. Every kid is a kid
right.
at the end of the day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Every community has the same problems that every community goes through, believe
mm-hmm.
it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? It's just different language.
Right.
So. You just go in there and you just blend in. You just
immerse yourself in
yeah.
the culture and let everything else settle. Settle itself out, bro. Man, that's all I got, brother. I appreciate you pulling up, chopping game with me, dog. I mean, unless you got anything else, brother, you know, wanna share with the people.
Nah, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. This is dope, man. People need to hear what other people are doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it helps, man. I swear it does. Like you said earlier, you never know who's going through something. And you never know what you say or what, you know, the way you said it might just, you know, yet again, light a fire. Or might, I don't want to be dramatic, but might save somebody's life.
Right.
You feel me? But
right.
you don't know what's going on in this world. So you might as well just throw anything out there. So,
sure.
yeah. So this is dope. I appreciate you for having me. And yeah, man.
No problem, brother. And there it is. Another episode of Life Across the Waters in the books. KP3, Big Mango. We signing off, baby.
It is.
And that's a wrap. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you for listening this whole time. We'll be back soon with another episode, so stay tuned. Life Across the Water, KP3, certified in person.